Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, with producer Nate Vaughn. Not coming to you from Xfinity Studios at Winter Park. We love Xfinity Studios, but it is the holiday season. We're traveling for Christmas. We promised you all a Christmas Day edition of the Wobcast, and we are delivering. To do so, we have to use contraptions and phones and batteries and all sorts of weird things. We're doing it. And we're doing it because the Vikings have a huge game coming up on Sunday night against the New York Giants. Now, there's a chance before the game starts that the Vikings can clinch a playoff spot, and there's a chance that they will be assured that next week's game at Lambeau Field is an NFC North Championship game, even before the Vikings kick off on Sunday night. There's also a chance that before the Vikings and Giants kick off on Sunday night, that the New York Giants are eliminated from playoff possibilities. And they will do that if the Washington Redskins win on Saturday night. So even if both of those things happen, though, we still feel this game has consequences for the Vikings. First of all, you want to be in good form heading into the playoffs if you do indeed qualify for the playoffs. Mike Zimmer wants to instill a mentality in his team where his team is tough, where they're physical, and where they're aggressive, and where they finish. And you want to build momentum going into the playoffs. You want to have confidence. And so to accomplish all of those things, you want to be playing well. You want to defeat the New York Giants, even if the game technically does not have any sort of playoff implications for you. So where we're going with this is injuries and availability. Of course, we know by now that Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. will not be playing in the game because he was suspended. He appealed that suspension, but the suspension was upheld. And then, of course, the Vikings had been missing three of their big-time defensive starters, and two other players who could figure significantly into the outcome were injured last week, Adrian Peterson and Xavier Rhodes. The three starters who have been missing, Anthony Barr, Linval Joseph, and Harrison Smith. So what this all comes down to is some people are wondering if the Vikings have clinched a spot and cannot improve their positioning by a win. Maybe you rest those players. Maybe you don't. At the end of the day, I think you want to be playing well going into the playoffs. You want to be in good form, and you want to build momentum. So as Mike Zimmer says, if they're healthy, they're going to play, and that's what I expect to see on Sunday. But we won't know until right before the game, so it'll be interesting to see how the Vikings handle that situation. It'll be interesting to watch that game on Saturday night between the Washington Redskins and the Philadelphia Eagles, because that has huge implications for the New York Giants. At the end of the day, it's a super interesting time of year right now on the NFL calendar. The Vikings are playing relevant games in the month of December, and it's a ton of fun. A huge game coming up Sunday night. It's on NBC Sunday Night Football, so you'll have a big A-caliber crew calling the game with Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, and Michelle Tafoya at TCF Bank Stadium for the Vikings and for the Giants. We bring in Nate Vaughn right now, because our regular late week Wobcast segment of player we should be talking about that we're not, Nate's going to fill us in on who that player is. Hi, Nate.
Hey, Wobby, how are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you. Same to you. Thanks for your part on grinding through this edition of the Wobcast, which we're doing while we're in two totally separate locations.
Pretty grindy.
Yes.
But that's how we do it, right?
Mm-hmm. It is. It's what we are.
Speaking of, I don't know if this works, but speaking of grindy,
okay.
Brian Robinson is putting together a very, very good second half of the season. His first half was actually not that bad, just didn't have a lot of stats to show for it. But the second half of the season, he's really come on as of late.
Yeah, he has been, and he's a player we don't talk a lot about, but we should. So I think your selection for this segment is very good. Brian Robinson had a huge game last week against the Bears. And in fact, I think he registered one of the game's biggest plays. The strip sack and fumble recovery that he had of Jay Cutler early in the third quarter was huge, because the Vikings scored at the end of the first half to go up 17-7, go into the locker room at halftime with a 10-point lead, come out of the locker room, and you're going to get the opening kick of the second half. And that's what you want to do. When you win the coin toss to start the game and you defer, what you hope to do is score right before halftime and then get the ball to start the second half and then score on that possession to really try and open the game up. Well, the Vikings were on track to do that but the Bears surprised the Vikings with an onside kick, and they recovered. And then the Bears got a first down on their second play of the drive, got across midfield, and it looked like we were going to be in for a barn burner at TCF Bank Stadium with the Chicago Bears. Enter Brian Robinson, who on the third play of that drive sacked Jay Cutler, forced a fumble, and recovered that fumble. Six plays later, Teddy Bridgewater hit Stephon Diggs, and instead of it being a 10-point game with the Bears driving, the Vikings opened the thing up and led 24-7 after Blair Walsh hit the PAT. At the end of the day, Brian Robinson finished the game with six quarterback pressures, one tackle for loss, one sack, one forced fumble, and one fumble recovery. He is third on the team with four sacks. He's third on the team with 29 quarterback hurries. He's got four pass breakups, and he's second on the team with 10 tackles for loss. So Brian Robinson is playing huge right now for the Vikings, and he is definitely a player we should be talking about. All right, let's talk about three other players, but let's go to the New York Giants, Nate. Three threats from the Giants that we need to be thinking about as we head into our game against them.
Well, we can eliminate one certain wide receiver from the New York Giants from this list, but we'll start with a guy under center, though, Eli Manning. That's where you got to start, and that's where it's really going to start and end for the Giants.
Yep. Eli Manning, four touchdowns in each of the last two games, Nate. The last time, actually just one time since week eight, has he thrown for fewer than 245 yards. And he's, let's not forget, he's a two-time Super Bowl winner, a two-time Super Bowl MVP, and surely a future Hall of Famer. So Eli is going to figure out how to attack this Vikings defense and find an avenue to have some success, even without Odell Beckham Jr. So he is a threat on Sunday night. I think the key is not, I mean, every week you want to rush the passer and pressure him, but Eli, I think, is a guy where you would love to get him on the move and move him off of his spot, get him on the run. We talked about against like Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, we wanted to contain those guys and not let them get out of the pocket. I think with Eli, you want to get him out of the pocket. So that's the key for battling with Eli Manning, but he is no doubt one of the top three threats we're going to have to worry about Sunday night.
The Giants' defensive side of the ball has Robert Ayers, 6.5 sacks, 4 passes defended, and 2 forced fumbles so far this season, looking to put some pressure probably on Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, he's a grindy player too, Nate. And, the Vikings offensive line is coming off two pretty good games when you really look at it. And they're going to be tested on Sunday night. And the guy who's going to bring it the most, I think, is Robert Ayers. And, as you said, 6.5 sacks, 4 passes defense, 2 forced fumbles. What does that tell you? Well, it tells you that he impacts the game in many different ways, rushing the passer, dropping into coverage, or getting his arms up in the passing lanes, and then he can create turnovers as well. So he's a guy the offensive line is going to have to pay attention to. You got Jason Pierre-Paul on that side of the ball on the defensive line as well. You're going to have to watch out for him. He's got to play with that club now because of the hand injury he had over the offseason, but he can still be a good player. But I think the number one guy to watch when it comes to the Giants' defense is Robert Ayers.
And finally, a guy that's on the sidelines and has been for a long, long time for the Giants that you can never count out, Tom Coughlin, 2-time Super Bowl winning head coach, leading Eli Manning's teams. Everybody talks about Eli's Super Bowl. Well, Tom Coughlin was the one that was leading that team from beginning to end.
Yeah. I think whenever you're playing a team that is A, quarterbacked by Eli Manning, but B, is being coached by Tom Coughlin, and then you get those two in combination, you know, it's a team you can't take lightly. I don't care if Odell Beckham Jr. is playing or not. They have Tom Coughlin. That means they have big game, late season credibility. Tom Coughlin knows how to get his team ready despite circumstances, and he's going to have these Giants ready to go on Sunday night. Let's get an outside perspective on this Vikings-Giants game. To do so, we're going to go to Ike Taylor, a guy who has played in a lot of big-time, prime-time, and postseason implication type of games. The good news is Mr. Taylor likes the Vikings this week on primetime.
All right, Ike Taylor, the Giants and the Vikings coming up this week. Right now, the Vikings are the 6th seed, so a win in one of their next two games would clinch them a playoff spot. The Giants, they're still fighting, so what do the Giants need to do to stop the Vikings?
Man, stop Teddy Bridgewater.
What a game he had last week.
Man, that dude has been cool, and hot at the same time. He's a cool guy, but he got a hot hand.
Uh-huh.
If you see what I'm saying.
Teddy Bridgewater,
man, 154 yards, passer rating, the highest since a Vikings quarterback since 2003. Man, he is dropping dimes. I mean, he's putting in the buckets. His guys are getting open. They're making plays. He's throwing in the tight windows. You got to like Teddy Bridgewater right now.
All right, what about the Vikings, Key? Because they've started to get Mike Wallace a little more involved, and you really want to see more of that.
Yeah, I'm going to be a homer because I know what Mike Wallace can do, but you got to keep Mike Wallace involved because he's that deep threat, you know, because he's hungry. At the same time, got paid a lot of money. I would like to see him keep earning his money. You know, Mike Wallace have 3+20 yards so far in 3 games, 2 in the previous 11. He's finally getting into the game plan. If he can consistently make himself and make plays and get in the game plan, man, they're going to be cooking when we're gas.
Yeah, we want to see more of that because he's on a pace right now for career lows in receiving yards, touchdowns.
Right.
I mean, that's not – but the last 3 games, as you mentioned, he's sort of been, like, a little bit more involved in the game plan. So who do you think, Giants, Vikings?
I got to go with the Vikings.
Only yeah?
Because I don't know if OBJ is going to be out, you know. If OBJ
he's going to be suspended for a game.
If he's out this game, if they're – don't uphold his suspension. Mm-hmm. It's going to be tough winning without OBJ. And I like what Teddy Bridgewater and company is doing right now.
Okay, Nate, let's go to the fan question. I have it printed off here, so I'll read it and give my answer, and we can talk about it. It kind of touches on what we talked about at the top of the show, playoff seeding, playoff positioning. Question comes from Alejandro Arias, and he asks, is there any scenario where the Vikings could play a team other than Green Bay in the first round, either in the wild card round or a division winner? So actually, Alejandro's asking whether we play in the wild card round or and we're playing at home or on the road, who is it possible that we could play? Well, Green Bay is obviously the most likely scenario, but yeah, there are other teams the Vikings could play. If the Vikings go 1-1 over the last 2 games and Seattle goes 0-2, then the Vikings would be the fifth seed. They'd be a wild card team, and they would play the winner of the NFC East in the first round. Also, if the Vikings go 2-0 and Green Bay goes 1-1, then the Vikings would host Seattle in the first round because they would be the 3 seed. Seattle would drop to the 6th seed, and Green Bay would jump up to the 5th seed. So there's a lot of teams there, and it's very confusing, but yes. There are other possibilities for the Vikings in the playoffs other than playing Green Bay in their first game. If it's not Green Bay, it's most likely going to be Seattle. But the Vikings could also slide up to the 5th seed and play the winner of the NFC East, and that could be Washington or the Philadelphia Eagles, most likely. So still multiple playoff scenarios for the Vikings. We're going to get into more playoff talk at the end of the Lobcast, but it basically comes down to if the Vikings win on Sunday night, they're in. If Atlanta loses, they're in. Or if Seattle wins, they're in. But yes, the Vikings can play a team other than Green Bay in the first round of the playoffs.
All right, we're going to move on to over-unders. The first over-under we're going to look at is Teddy incompletions. If you remember last game, he had fewer incompletions than touchdown passes. That doesn't happen a whole lot of the time.
No, and it's good when you do that.
It is a positive thing for your team. We're going to set the bar a little bit lower than that. It's unrealistic to think he can have that kind of game every single week, although we would gladly take it. We're going to put Teddy in completions at 11.5.
Yeah, and I mean, I know that number sounds high given he's coming off of a 3 incompletion game, but that's obviously an outlier for any quarterback. If you look at Teddy's last 4 games, these are the number of incompletions he's had: 8, 11, 11, and 3, which is pretty good. And I think the number is fair, Nate, because it's also going to be like a cold weather game. It could be windy. The weather could be bad, which makes it harder to pass. With all of that said, I'm going under. I'm going under for 2 reasons. Teddy is hot right now, and he plays well in the month of December historically. In 6 career games, he completes 75% of his passes. I also think we're going to run the ball a ton. So for those 2 reasons, I'm on the under with this one.
All right. Second, we're going to take a look at longest field goal made in the game. We know Blair Walsh has been a little bit hot and cold, mostly hot this year. But one thing he's pretty consistent with is those longer field goals. So So that could play to our advantage in this game. But for the longest field goal made in the game, we're going to put the over-under at 49.5. So basically, is the longest field goal made going to be from 50 yards out?
I will say no. So I'm going to take the under on this one as well. Now, the Giants kicker, Josh Brown, is 3 for 3 from 50-plus. Blair Walsh is 4 of 6. So if an opportunity comes up where you need that 50-yarder, I think both teams feel pretty good. But, again, I think the weather's going to be cold, which makes it tougher to kick from that far. And hopefully we're scoring touchdowns and not field goals. So I am on the under here.
And for the third over-under, we're going to take a look at Kyle Rudolph. He's had sort of a resurgence late in the season here. You remember that Green Bay game? He was our stud on offense for a lot of that game. If we put the over-under at 4.5 receptions for Kyle Rudolph in this game, what would you say?
I'm going to go over on that. The Giants have given up a lot of production to tight ends, Nate. In fact, they've given up 12 tight end touchdowns this season. Kyle Rudolph in his last 4 games, 7 catches, 3 catches, 6 catches, 2 catches. So I think you have a good number here, but I think that Kyle's over on this. I expect 5 or more catches from Rudy, the red-nosed reindeer, on Christmas weekend.
Hey, we like that. That's a nice one.
Okay.
Well played, Bobby. Let's take a look at the playoff picture real quick. I know you kind of talked about it a little bit already.
Yeah, well, I want to start in the AFC really quickly and talk about your Kansas City Chiefs. Their clinching scenario this weekend, Nate, is if they win, plus they get a Jets or a Steelers loss, they are in. The reason I want to mention that is because this is a Chiefs team that was 1-5 after we beat them, and they had lost 5 straight. Since then, they've won 8 straight. If they win this weekend, they will have won 9 straight. They will have possibly clinched a playoff spot. That's a hot team right now. But going to the NFC, this is how it goes right now. Panthers, 1 seed. Cardinals, 2 seed. Packers, 3 seed. Redskins, 4 seed. Seahawks, 5 seed. Vikings, 6 seed. Now, really, for the Vikings, the only thing that can change this weekend is if the Vikings win and the Seahawks lose, the Vikings would move up to that 5th spot and be in line to A, have a division championship game in week 17, but B, have a chance that if they don't win that game, to be at the Redskins or at the Eagles in wild card weekend instead of at Green Bay or at Arizona. So that's one thing to watch. The Vikings could bump up to the 5th seed. Nate, teams to root for this weekend aside from the Vikings, because Vikings fans are going to have to wait all day for their team to play on Sunday night. So on Sunday, you're going to be watching all of these games. In fact, the first team that you have to root for is going to play on Saturday night. So get your popcorn ready on Saturday night. You are rooting for the Washington Redskins, Vikings fans, because if they win, if they beat the Philadelphia Eagles on Saturday night, your New York Giants are eliminated from playoff contention. That's one less motivating reason for them to play on Sunday night and beat your team. The other 3 teams you're rooting for, Arizona over Green Bay, because if that happens, you are assured of a division championship game in week 17. If Green Bay wins but the Vikings lose, Green Bay clinches the division, so we don't want that. So we want Arizona to beat Green Bay. You're also cheering for the Carolina Panthers to remain undefeated because they play the Atlanta Falcons. And if the Panthers beat the Falcons, it doesn't matter what the Vikings do on Sunday. The Vikings are in. Same case with the Seattle Seahawks. I know I said that if Seattle loses and the Vikings win, the Vikings move up to the 5 seed. But let's just try and get into the playoffs before we worry about where we sit. And if Seattle defeats the St. Louis Rams, your Minnesota Vikings have clinched a playoff spot.
It's kind of fun to talk about this kind of stuff late in the season, isn't it?
It is. It's fun to be in relevant games, and it's fun to look at like muddled playoff pictures because, like, if you look in the AFC, the AFC South is kind of like the NFC East right now. You got a 500 team that's leading the division, and then you got a sub 500 team that could still win the division and get into the playoffs. So it's kind of fun to watch that. And then you have teams like the Chiefs, the Steelers, and the Jets. They're all 9-5. They're all good enough to make a run in the postseason, but one of them is going to be the odd team out. So it's kind of fun to watch it in the final 2-game stretch. In the NFC, you know, you've got the Packers, who could be as high as the 2 seed or as low as the 6 seed in the NFC. You got Carolina Panthers are going for an undefeated season. You got the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks who will play in Week 17. The Vikings and Packers will play in Week 17. You got NBC sitting there thinking, which game are we going to flex into primetime in Week 17? So there's just so many fun angles to watch and to study in this thing, and it's fun to be one of the teams that's in the mix, and the Vikings certainly are one of those teams that's in the mix, and they play on Sunday night. So don't forget, folks, you get to watch football all day on Sunday, and then your team plays on Sunday night against the New York Giants. You can catch that game on the Vikings Radio Network, where Paul Allen, Pete Bursich, and Greg Coleman will have the call. Leading up to the game and then right after the game, we encourage you to go to Vikings.com and check out all of the content that Nate, yours truly, and everyone else will be putting together to promote and to inform about your favorite team, the Minnesota Vikings. Nate, anything we need to clean up here before we sign off?
No, I think we're all good. Thanks for doing this, Wobby, and happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Same to you and yours. Thanks for doing this and all your hard work on it. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. The Christmas Day / weekend edition of the Wobcast is over. Our work is done. Vikings and players' work has just begun. They play Sunday night. Can't wait to watch those guys. We'll be back early next week to recap the weekend that was, week 16 of the NFL calendar of games, to recap the Vikings and Giants game and to look ahead to see what's going on in week 17. We hope it's going to be a big NFC North Division championship game against the Green Bay Packers. Until early next week, we'll talk to you guys later. So, yeah, I start with